There's two stories here in our scripture lesson. The first story is it's about Jesus. You have the story of a house that's packed with people who've come to see, who've come to hear Jesus on his return to his home base in Capernaum. He was staying in a place very familiar to him. He likely stayed there on many other occasions. There's a parallel passage to this in Luke chapter 5, and it talks about how in this time when he's here in Capernaum, in this very familiar house, the Lord's healing power was strongly with him. And that's what the first story that Gwen read is all about. It's all about the authority of Jesus that's been given to him, the power of Jesus to be able to bring healing of spirit, the forgiveness of sins, and healing of the body to the paralyzed condition of the man. Verse 5, your sins are forgiven. Verse 11, stand up, pick up your mat, you know, walk, go. Now, this whole thing about sin and the forgiveness of sins, that word sin can make some people feel really kind of uncomfortable. It's become a sort of a no-go-to kind of word in our day. It's because we seem to have gotten hold of this image of God being like a cosmic policeman, right? He's standing over us with a nagging finger, holding us under a divine microscope with a sin magnifying lens. And yet, you know, it's so clear in the scripture that God is not a policeman. Like, you could say that with me, you know, God is not a policeman. In the passage that follows this one, the story that comes right after this one, Jesus compares himself. You know, he said, you want to get a hold of what I'm really like. I'm not a policeman. Now, all apologies to those who have family who serve with them. But he said, I'm not a policeman. He says, if you want to think of what I'm like, think of a doctor. That's what I am. A doctor. He's come as one who wants us above everything else. This is God's heart in this passage for this man and for us to be healthy and to live thriving, wholesome lives. And that was clearly the heart of Jesus for this paralyzed man in the story, to live a thriving, healthy, full life. It's the story here, the first story about Jesus responding to this man to be forgiven, to receive the gracious and healing forgiveness and renewal of his body, healing of his body. Eugene Peterson, American Presbyterian pastor, retired now, but in a devotional that's been put together of some of his writings, he has a devotional for one day called The Determined Deliverance of God. It's like there's this determination of God for you and for me. There's no sign outside that says full. You know, God is just determined that we're going to know his work of salvation, deliverance in our lives. Here's what Peterson says. He says, the root meaning in Hebrew of salvation is to be broad. It's to become spacious, to enlarge. It carries a sense of deliverance from an existence that's become compressed and confined and cramped. No more cramped, no more full, but open and spacious and welcoming and inviting. Jesus brings this paralyzed man out of his sin and sickness into freedom and health. And that's the first story here. It's about the authority, it's the power of Jesus to speak the word. And the word he speaks is not the word condemned, and you're in trouble and you're never going to get. No, it is, I want you to live a thriving, whole, full life here, this life, and in the life to come. There's a second story, though. That's the first story, but there's a second story, and the second story is all about these four friends who bring their friend to Jesus. And I find in the second story, I find what I'm going to call a blueprint, if you like, for our life together as a community of faith here today, people who follow Jesus Christ as Lord. These four friends were, can I use this phrase, this word, they were like rope holders for this paralyzed man. He's on this mat, and he needs to be lowered through the roof, opening up the tiles in the roof and lowered to get the attention of Jesus. The place is so crowded, they want to get him to Jesus, and so they hold rope for him. They're rope holders. And believe me, they were persistent rope holders. They had this, we're going to stop at nothing kind of attitude. They were determined to bring their friend to Jesus, and they were going to break through every barrier that there was. There was no way to get in through the entrance, and so they found another way. They were not going to go home without their friend getting the attention of Jesus. That's the first thing. They're persistent. The second thing is they're creative. You know the old saying, if at first you don't succeed, right? You can't get in the front door. You can't get in the back door. Where do you go? Well, I don't know that I really want any of you movie night or the children to think they come down through the tin ceiling that's here. But they open up the tiles and they... How many times do you think that had been tried before? Likely not very many times. But they figured it out. They found a way. They were creative in that. They were persistent, creative, and they were willing to pay the price as rope holders for their friend. It doesn't say this in the account in Mark, but it says it in Luke 5 that there were this group of highly critical religious people. Why is it that all the critical ones are religious? I don't know. But they were the highly critical religious people who traveled from place to place following Jesus, trying to find ways to trip him up, things that he might say, things that he might do to bring accusation against him. And guess who were part of the crowd? They were sitting, it says. I can picture them. I mean, I don't have a chair up here, but I'll sit here. Just waiting. Looking for the opportunity to pounce on Jesus. Now, okay, here they are. Diane is Jesus, okay? And all of a sudden... Now remember, they got a critical attitude to start with, all right? It's not their house. I mean, you can imagine what they would have done if it had been their house. But, I mean, you don't do things like this. You know, like you're behaving improperly. You know, it's not allowed. It's coloring outside the lines. You know, all of this stuff. I'm sure there was a heap of abuse and insult and ridicule that was directed their way. But they were not going to stop at anything to lay hold of the power of Jesus to meet the need of their friend. And they were open to every fresh and new way. In that day, I don't have a lot of time here. No, I don't have any time, actually. But, it wasn't like they had to put a ladder to get up to the roof. You know, there was sort of like a stairway that went up the side of the house. And they could almost imagine them, going up the side of the roof. No one has ever tried to do it that way before. That's, those critical religious types. But they were willing to lay hold of something fresh, something that was new. They were willing to pay the price of seeing Jesus meet the need of their friend. And verse 5 says that Jesus saw their faith. I think it might have been, I can't say this, but I can just imagine to myself that Jesus laughed. Matt, he said, look at that. He smiled. I mean, you think of it for a moment here. What was Jesus' specialty? Mark chapter 1, verse 15, the kingdom of God is here. He says, kingdom of God is here. It's in your midst. Jesus' specialty was removing all the barriers between heaven and earth. That was what he specialized in, bringing God near. And just looking up, laughing. I can see him laughing and smiling and seeing what I would call the barrier-removing faith of these four friends bringing their friend to him. I think it stirred him. It's what it says. He saw their faith, and it stirred something in him. And I see in all of this a ministry blueprint. And you can't lose sight of that first story. That's always first. Okay, God is the one, the only one who can forgive sin, who can heal. That's not ours, okay? We don't even get any kind of idea. Don't presume that we're the ones who are called to do that. That's not our responsibility. That's God's. But in the midst of that, we're the ones who are called by God to be rope holders, who bring others so that they can receive the attention, the love, the grace, and the mercy of God. And it's the call that's on our lives to know our part and our place. This becomes really important in holding up the corner that's ours and seeing others come to God. And you know, what I get from that, it's not my responsibility alone. It's not Doug's responsibility alone. Every one of us has a corner that we're the rope holder for. And get this, when it comes to seeing others have those barriers removed, there's no plan B for God. There's plan A, and we're the plan A. We're the rope holders. It's all about working together. Call it whatever you want, plural ministry, not singular ministry. It's not any one person's responsibility. But together, we hold up the corners of the mat, that figurative mat, to see others come to Christ. Think of the person, think of the situation that God wants you, not on your own, but together with some others, to be a rope holder, helping to see others come to Jesus. And what I'd say to you is, like these four people here, you've got that person, you've got that situation. Never quit believing. Like, just don't give up. You may think it's impossible. No, it's not. Don't quit believing. And always be looking for new ways, fresh ways. And maybe the toughest one, be willing to pay the price, whatever that cost is going to be, as you work together with others to bring people to hear about, to know about, to experience the grace, the mercy, the love of God. Be willing to pay that. You know, the big challenge in our consumer-driven culture is to see ourselves, to see yourself, just to see yourself as an integral part, not looking what's in this for me, but to see yourself as an integral piece and part of God's chosen means for others to know his love, his grace, and his mercy. You're God's plan A the whole way. You really are. I don't think in our following of Jesus that we carried ourselves. Can you kind of picture carrying your... No, it doesn't work that way. Others carried me. They really did. Others carried you. And now we're called to be the ones, to be rope holders who carry others. Well, I think the praise team can get ready to come back up. But, I want to just say this as I end this, because it is time to wrap it up. But the means, the place, the situation for you to be a rope holder, rest assured it's not inside always the four walls of this building. There's room for you to be rope holders in here, believe me. But sometimes, we can be guilty of thinking, okay, what slot here in this building can you fill and can you fit? And no, it's not about everything that happens in here. There are places where you can be rope holders here, for sure. But there's also places for you to be rope holders in the community, the region that we live in. And, in your homes, your families, in the the schools that some of your children go to, some of your other involvements in the community, just know this. There's a calling of God. There's a clear calling of God for you somewhere, somehow, to take hold of a corner of a map with others so that there will be no one. I hesitate at times to say, God says, but I'm coming close to that right now, but it's me saying it. But I think that God's heart is that there would be nobody who would lack a group of friends who would hold rope for them. So they could hear, see, receive, experience the loving attention of God. Let's pray.